mate. How you going?
Mate, I'm out the front.
Sweet. I'll send a sec.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Wait. See ya.
Dan Connell.
How are you?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
That's
good to see ya. What's happening?
I was just watching some footy.
Footy! Actually, hang on. All right, Dan Connell's in the car.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Oh, I can hear you loud and clear. That's good. Because you're a quietly spoken chap.
I am, but I didn't put it on my lapel in the end. I put the mic, basically attach it to my chin hairs. So.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Does that sound all right?
Yeah, sounds good. Now, Dan, we haven't worked together for a while.
It's been a little while, yeah.
But we're going off to do, what is it, Caulfield Bears?
Caulfield Bears, I think it's the juniors.
Great.
Fundraiser, so no kids, I'm hoping.
No, junior clubs are my sweet spot normally because they're all parents.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So I just do all parenting material. And just, this is where my phone's, and you know, it's not far from your joint, actually.
That should only be 20 minutes away.
So, Carnegie. This is the home club of Tom Seagate, who was just on this podcast.
How did Tom do it last, did he? The last one?
Well, they had Caulfield Bears as his team. He used to play for them.
I think he played over 300 games, from memory.
Jesus. No wonder he became the suburban footballer. So what are we predicting? What do you imagine?
It's called the Bear Cave. So that's early indication that it should be fine. Nothing bad ever happens in a bear cave.
I think I've done this before, and I'm pretty sure they're pretty well to, not well to do, but they weren't struggling. It's Carnegie.
Yeah.
Which for people don't know, it's not an inner city suburb, but it's a suburb where it's quite a well to do. Well, not really. It's just very middle class.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Bang in the middle, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure as soon as I got up there, a barrister started heckling me. Like he said he was a barrister or something. He's like, I'm going to have a crack. Anyway.
I wasn't
expecting.
No. He's obviously had a few then.
Yes. Well, parents, you know.
Mm.
All right. Well, tune back in because there'll be a time swipe.
I hope we're both as cheery in 2 hours as we are now.
Well, Tom Seger goes, you always seem to do good gigs on your podcast. I said, most gigs are pretty good, but I said, I'm going to hit a bad one day. Often the bad ones you buy yourself too.
Yeah.
So it's not that. But the great Dan Connell, of course, he's got his own podcast, Taking It Easy, which I've been listening to.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Which is great. I was listening to the Sam Pang one. It was very good.
Thanks very much.
You're very disarming. So.
Yeah, great.
And anyway, we'll chat more about that later.
Great.
Okay. Hello, Caulfield Bears. Woo! Now, the debrief of this is supported by supersimplecards.com. Get a pack of greeting cards from supersimplecards using the code debrief at the checkout. supersimplecards.com. Check them out. Look, they're made in Australia. They're made in Gippsland. And they're powered by solar. Yeah, there's no trees to cut down to make the cards. And the cards are compostable too. You can chuck them in the compost when you're finished with them, if you receive one. So find a link in the show notes or go to supersimplecards.com. Get 10% off your entire order when you use the code debrief at the checkout. All shipping is free. Get a great pack of environmentally friendly cards. It'll save you time and money. Yeah, it's a good idea. Go to supersimplecards.com. All right, back to the show. All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. Ah, yes, you're back on the debrief with Dave O'Neill and Dan Connell. We're just in the car park of the Caulfield Bears. And Dan, it was good gig, wasn't it?
It was great fun, yeah. They were, you emceed it up a storm. They were in an absolute fit of laughter when I got up there, so it was great.
Yeah, well, they're kind of, as I said, they're all parents, and they can be a good crowd, parents.
They were red hot tonight, yeah. Probably sort of average age 40, I would say, in the room, 40, 45.
45, I think you're right.
Mm.
So my age group, even though I'm 53, but I don't know where I'm going.
We got here
and we couldn't find the place.
Oh, that's an exit just there.
We went to a toilet block, didn't we?
Well, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. But you were great. I watched a fair bit of you.
Thanks, mate.
And Brad Oakes was on at the end, a regular participant in this podcast.
Mm, Oakesy smashed it as well.
Oakesy smashed it. And They're just a really good crowd.
Yeah, there's
you know, I've done that room before. I've had some interesting experiences in that room. I did the junior club, the same club about 3 years ago, and a guy started. Like I said, he was a barrister or something.
Oh, that was in that.
That was in that room, but the stage was in a different place. And then I did a grand final eve function.
Yeah.
For their senior list, which is all 18, 19 year old blokes, and it was a nightmare.
Oh, really?
Oh, they just pissed on that public holiday before the grand final.
Ah, right.
And so, standing around, just not listing, yelling out. It's like, God. You know, when you just think, well, I don't think Chris Rock would go well at this gig.
Nah.
I reckon anyone would go well.
You just don't need comedy.
No, you don't need comedy. Just put on another keg.
Yeah. Or a jukebox or something.
Or in the old days, it'd be a stripper, but that's that doesn't happen these days.
Although you offered to strip tonight.
I offered to strip. That's my regular opener. It's oh my God. It's a classic.
Yeah.
But
there was good vibes there tonight. As soon as we walked in, it felt like they were going to be up for it. Cheese platters were out.
I know. When you go to a place and they offer you a cheese platter, it's a good sign, I reckon. Now, I don't know where I'm going. I'll sort of roughly go towards your area. I think I know the way. Yeah. No, it's good. And because how long have you been doing comedy, Dan?
End of this year, I'm coming up on 10 years. About nine,
only 10 years? Nine, I would have thought you were about 15. That's interesting.
Right. Yeah, so I started in, right at the end of 08. Yeah.
And you started in Canberra, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. So I probably only, I probably did about 30 gigs in my first 18 months and then moved to Melbourne in, 2010. It's kind of been much more full on since then.
I'm trying to remember where I first met you. That's what I always do on this podcast. I'm trying to remember where I first met people. I remember seeing you very early on. I can't remember where. It would have just been at one of the local gigs, I assume.
Yeah, I would think it would have been like at a soft belly when you back when it was Thursday night.
Yes.
Gigs.
Yeah,
because I didn't start doing footy clubs until maybe 2013-14. So.
Yeah. I definitely met you not at a footy club. I definitely met you at a city venue in Melbourne, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because you got a distinctive style because you're quietly spoken on stage.
Yeah. I've a lot of issues over the years with sound techs telling me to speak up and me telling them to turn the sound up.
I think the natural thing for comics starting out is to speak loudly because you're often battling shit crowds.
Yes.
Shit PA system. I still speak loudly on stage.
Yeah, I have improved a lot just with advice from people and confidence, I think. But
so you're always just a quietly spoken guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think I am quieter than most.
I know you are quieter than most.
But I used to be even quieter,
But it's good, it's alluring in a way. Because it's
I find people...
They listen more.
Yeah, I find if a room's a bit chirpy, they all sort of go dead quiet if you're a bit... try and listen.
Well, that's what the people, they always say, don't yell, just go quieter.
And people that are listening might tell the person next to them to shut up so they can hear you.
Jamone's a quiet comic, for example. I remember he saw you and thought you were fantastic.
Right.
I don't know if he was just identifying with another quiet comedian.
We stick together,
like when I see another fat comic. Love that fat guy. I don't know. I really like that fat white guy. I just think he's doing some really good stuff up there.
There's not many of us. Yeah.
There's not many quiet comics.
No,
there's not a lot. David Quirk?
Quirk's pretty quiet. Yeah.
There's not many quiet comics, you're right.
Yeah, it does backfire sometimes. It's,
Remember when we did the Melton Raceway?
Melton? Oh, yeah.
It's a dog's track, isn't it? No, it's a trot. It's a trot. And unfortunately...
I had actually managed to block that out of my mind until just then.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine. That would be in my top five. That'd be up in my top five. Least fun experiences at comedy. Just that, that was a bit of that sound kept cutting out as well.
No, the sound kept cutting out, but also the PA system for the track was the same sound system. Yeah. So you got up to MC and said, g'day, guys. And it was a footy club in Melton. g'day, guys. We're going to have this. And then it's coming. All right, we've got the walk against Want on the Oval at the moment.
That's right.
They had a walk against Want or a
24-hour walk around the track.
Yeah. And so they were making the announcements of that over the same PA that you were using.
And
it was just like...
And then they couldn't work out how to change
it. Turn it off, the mic didn't work. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I did a similar... It's funny that... That was probably four years ago, I reckon.
Four or five years ago.
I had one just recently out at Cranbourne Greyhounds a few Saturdays ago.
Oh my, really?
And it was the PA I was using was on the ground. The race announcer was on the same PA to the room where the function was. So if he started speaking, my microphone would cut out. So there was 22. I had to do a 20-minute set, and there was 22 minutes between each race.
Oh man, you get in and do it quickly. Yeah. Yes.
So we had to wait until one race finished. All the ladies had to put their bets on, and then I had to talk basically up until I saw the greyhounds on the way to the boxes. And
I've done gigs like that at race courses.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. Like that was 50 out of the 60 ladies there just talked the whole way through my set. They didn't want to listen. It was a
races are hard. I did one in Ballarat, the Ballarat Turf Club, which is better than. And there were several levels. Often there's several levels that you're working to.
Yeah,
like different. Like there's people at your level, and there's people 2 feet down on a different level. And the guy said, "Oh, this is a corporate gig, blah blah blah." And I'm, and it was for like a building company. And I said to these guys on the next level, "So you guys part of the building company?" And they're like, "Nah, we work at McDonald's." I'm like, I said to the guy, "I thought this was like your corporate thing." He goes, "Oh, we've only got half the room. We don't have the whole." To give them credit, the people from McDonald's were quite good. They listened and laughed. But it was just one of those. And you had to finish before the race. That's right. Because there's no point competing against a race.
Yeah.
You can't compete against a race if you're at a racing event.
As a former gambler, when you're in a mindset of putting on bets and having a drink, you don't really want to be interrupted by anything that isn't gambling or alcohol.
Yes. Have you ever done a gig at a casino where it's a free room?
No, I've done a gig in a casino, but it was a proper comedy night. So not a...
Well, that's different.
Yeah, not a free...
The Star Casino in Sydney for a while had just a comedy room to the side, and they've done ones in Melbourne too before, where they were just putting on comedy for anyone. So you'd be on stage at 11 o'clock at night, and a guy who just lost 50 grand would wander in. Then some Asian tourists would sit down and just go, What's this? They're just disasters.
How do I bet on this?
Just a disastrous situation.
Yeah.
Because, you did a show about gambling.
Yes.
You're a gambler. You're a gambling addict.
I had a problem. I didn't realise I had a problem sort of till I stopped and did some sums of previous years' outlays on gambling. And once I stopped and how many nightmares I had about putting bets on and how hard it was to not put another bet on made me realise that it was a pretty serious
How much
situation.
Were you spending a week?
Oh, I worked out it was about over like a 6-7 year period. I lost about 100,000.
Wow.
Gambling. Yeah, so weekly it was probably around about $300-$400 a week.
Yeah, right. But that would have been like almost half your wage or something, wouldn't it?
About half, yeah. I had a good job cooking, and then I was in public service in Canberra. So I had good jobs, and just young and dumb and didn't really appreciate money enough.
But see, in those days, could you bet on your phone?
That was just before it came in.
See, so imagine what you'd have been like with that.
Yeah, I was so lucky that I stopped when I did it. It all came in maybe probably 2 years after I stopped.
Yeah.
So my last bet was in February 2009. So it's sort of, the whole landscape has changed dramatically since then, yeah.
My parents gamble every day.
Really?
Yeah, on the trots and the horses. And my kids go, my son said the other day, Does Nana Joyce have a gambling problem? they're in their 80s, and it's just a bit of an interest. And you go over, and because they do it so often, they know the track and they know the horses.
Yeah, right.
And so they know most of the times they back winners.
Mm. So is this do they just do it via? You got the laptops fired up, and they go down the TAB?
I think they go to the TAB. Dad,
okay, yeah.
Because I've been out for dinner with Mum and Dad in the local area, and people come up, "Oh, that's bloody Keith from the TAB. How you going, mate?" I go, "Does he work there?" "No, he's just a regular." "Oh, g'day, Stewie. Yeah. How are you, mate?" And they're all like, and then on Wednesdays they go to the Manhattan Hotel, where you may have done a gig. It's a big, they've had comedy there occasionally, and they have, anyway, they go there every Wednesday, and as one of the guys who went to high school with me, Jeff said, "Your mum's often the only woman here." So, sounds great. Take Joyce out, poor mum, in her 80s. But she likes it. And they just sit there in the bar and have a Parmigiana.
Right.
And, oh my God, we're in Elston Week. Okay, I've got to turn around.
My parents still gamble, yeah. My dad still loves a bet.
Well, it's a bit of a hot, and you know what? They don't spend that much. And also, they've worked hard to get where they are, as long as they don't do the house.
Yeah, well, he had... the ages I was, like 18 to 25 when I had the issue, I didn't have any kids or Not that I do now, but I did have a mortgage or, you know, but my dad did. So I know people still can have quite bad situations when they've got families. But I think dad having kids and having a mortgage and things prevented him from gambling more than he probably could have.
Yeah, well, he kept it under control.
Mm.
My mum grew up in Richmond in the so-called slums that are now worth millions of dollars, the house that she grew up in. Anyway, they said lived next door to an SP Bookie, and then there was a pub next door to them as well.
Yeah.
And so granddad used to work for the SP Bookie. And
right.
Yeah, yeah. And but the mum, and also mum, you know, she didn't want to, she wasn't into gambling at all. It's only in the last 20 years or so that mum and dad have got into it, I think.
Yeah, right.
A bit of an interest, you know. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
Dad also never used to drink. He now drinks like a fish. No, he doesn't. He does drink, though, a bit. So he never drank when we were kids.
Do you reckon it's people they hang out with? Do you reckon they've been influenced in their life?
Oh, yeah.
They've done reverse peer pressure influencing.
I think they might have. Yeah. Bit of an interest.
Yeah.
You know? You're interesting because you were a chef, weren't you?
I was, yeah. When I finished school, I did...
Because you're from Coffs Harbour. You're from
Bateman's Bay.
Bateman's Bay.
Yeah, so down further, like, yeah, South Coast, New South Wales.
I've done gigs there. Yeah.
So I grew up there and, yeah, became a chef out after school. Moved to Jindabyne in the Snowy Mountains. Lived up there for 4 years. That was really great.
Age did you start comedy?
25.
Yes, that's about when I started.
Yeah.
But so why comedy, though? Because It's not normal. It's not a normal path, is it? Like,
not. It was. Yeah.
There's not many ex-chefs. There's a few. A
couple, yeah.
Darren Casey was a cook.
Right.
Wasn't Chris Franklin a cook?
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah. Yeah. It's. I kind of always thought that I would do stand up from maybe 14 or 15. I reckon.
Oh, really?
But I kept it a secret. I didn't tell anyone, like friends or family, because it was just that's such a bizarre thing, you know, that you want to do in a country town. Opportunities for that are few and far between.
Yeah. Well.
I moved to Jindabyne for chefing, I still thought I would eventually somehow move to a place where there was comedy and give it a go. Yeah. And I'd always write. I had notebooks that I'd write what I thought were jokes into.
funny ideas.
And it's just fear was what held me back. I was just terrified of public speaking. Yeah.
Because you're not an outgoing. You don't appear to be an outgoing. Nah. You're more shy or.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A bit more introverted, I would say. Yeah. But certainly coming out of my shell more in the 10 years I've done.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's...
You've got to. It would force you to, probably.
Yeah. And I always really enjoyed just making friends laugh and family laugh, telling stories and things. And
they say, you should be a stand-up.
Oh, yeah. I actually saw Jim Owen at my RSL in Bateman's Bay when I was 2001. And Bob Franklin was his support
act. Oh, yeah, you would have loved both of them.
Tea Towel Tour 2001. And
two quiet comedians.
Yeah. And the RSL, they did a 7 o'clock and a 9 o'clock to just full house RSL.
Yeah.
And I went with a bunch of mates and we just thought it was the greatest thing ever. And just after that, I was like, that's what I want to have a go at.
So where was your first actual gig?
In a thing called Green Faces.
I posted Green Faces.
Yeah. So it was...
It's like Raw, but a New South Wales sort of version or... Canberra.
It's like Australia-wide, based in Canberra, yeah. So they have a heat from every state, and then all the winners from each state heat go through to the final. But
how did you go at your first gig?
Well, I turned up, because when I booked it, it's called Green Faces, I just assumed everybody was doing their first gig.
Yeah, they're not, though.
But everybody had been going for 6-12 months minimum. Yeah. And they were all just shocked to find out that I was doing my first gig at this pub full of 300 drunk people.
Yeah.
And that just made me even more feared. I was just full of fear and scared about the whole situation. And then I went last as well. I was on last.
Oh, God.
Out of not 8 or 9 acts. So I had to wait all night. I don't remember a great deal. I asked a mate. I got a mate from work to come. Two mates from work came. I asked one of them to film it. They were in the front row. I could see the light on his phone was on. So I was like, right, it's been filmed. My last two jokes went pretty good. And I got like a good laugh from my last joke.
Yeah.
And I just got this bizarre rush that I hadn't felt before. And I was kind of hooked after that. And then I said, did you film that? And he goes, I forgot to press record. So I don't have the footage. But people that ran gigs in Canberra, then I met them that night. And
you got gigs.
Just sort of went from there, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
But I really threw myself into the deep end without even realising.
Well, that's not an uncommon story, though.
I probably wouldn't have, though, if I had a note, to be honest.
Yeah. But you know, people like Raw Comedy can often be their first gig.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Hannah Gadsby or something like that.
Mm.
Interesting. And so 10 years on, but you've done well. You're on the Comedy Gala.
Yeah, I did the gala last year.
That went well?
Yeah, it was great. It was great fun. It was.
Were you nervous then?
I was probably equally as nervous as I was for my first gig, I would say.
I mean, I've done a few of them. I still find them nerve-wracking.
Yeah. It was it's a long day. Not complaining at all. It was a fantastic experience. But, like, you go in for rehearsals first thing in the morning. So it's like 7 a.m., 8 a.m. And then the show's not till 7 at night. And I would like to have slept when I got home for a nap or whatever, but I couldn't. I was just buzzing. So you're just buzzing all day, thinking about it, going over your set. You got three and a half, four minutes. Just going over that in your head.
You've got a hand in a script, don't you?
Yeah.
For the producers.
Yeah. And then I remember I was fifth, and I just remember...
That's a good spot, though, in a way, isn't it, fifth?
Yeah, I was very lucky.
But who'd you have to follow?
Frank Woodley was before me.
Oh, and he's high energy, though.
Yeah. So he did well, and I remember just being behind the curtain, and they were sort of holding my arm. I was standing on the X, and they're like, right, as soon as Will Anderson says your name, out you go.
Yeah.
And I remember just having this thought, this is it.
I'll go that way.
You have to go out now. Like, there's no.
I know. I remember the very first TV thing I did was New Faces with Bert Newton. And I just remember the guy said, stand here, when he calls your name, walk out to that X.
Was it Belvedere back then? Or?
Probably was Belvedere. And I just mean, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah.
I'm seriously going to have a freak out right here.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't, and it was okay. But
Kind of once you get out there, it's fine. But just your mind plays.
Well, it's a big deal, and it's like everyone goes, "Oh, you're on the gala! Oh, wow!"
Yeah,
and you're not. It's not something that you do on a regular basis, too. You know
That's
what I mean?
Right.
It's like if you're doing three or four a year, like Hughie, he told me he does like three or four stand-up spots on TV a year.
Yeah.
It's like, bloody, how do you get the material for that?
Yeah,
and so for him, he would just sort of relax into it, you know. But for most people, you're like, "Oh, I don't want to fuck this up."
Yeah.
Because there's one thing people may not be aware, but you can get on the gala, you can do a spot, but then you can also get chopped.
That's right, yeah.
Which happened to me once.
Oh,
man. I've done it at least five times, and I normally have a great one, but I had to follow Dimitri Martin, who'd never been to Australia. Do you know Dimitri Martin?
Yeah.
He's good looking, he's very funny, and he plays a guitar. So you can imagine he goes out with his guitar.
Yeah.
And as most people that just do stand-up, stand-up tend not to like people with guitars.
Yeah.
We always go, it's cheating. You know, I've used a bass guitar in my act before, but anyway, whatever. They always do very well. If you've got a guitar, when you finish a song, people always clap.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he just smashes it, and I'm just like, oh, no.
How far into the night was it as well? Was it getting late?
It wasn't that late. It was like in the first bracket.
Mm-hmm.
I did it one year. I went on first, because, you know, it's always... Yeah, you know, the producer goes, oh, look, do you mind going on first? I'm like, no, I'm quite happy. I'd rather go first than last.
Absolutely.
And then they don't actually put it to air in the order that you're on, do they?
No.
So you weren't fifth on the broadcast? Or
I think I was third on the broadcast.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
So probably even better than, the...
Well, I was first on the night and last on the broadcast.
Oh, shit.
Which, in a way, was weird because it didn't have the vibe of a last spot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I was there, I could tell. But anyway, when I got chopped, my spot wasn't very good. Fair enough that they chopped me, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like... I'd also... We just had a baby and stuff. And
right.
I was so under the pump. This is your old pull over.
You pull up anywhere here, mate.
I'll go down a bit further. And I'll turn around. And so, well, exciting stuff. And you're going to Edinburgh very soon.
Yes, yeah, I leave next week. So when are you releasing this?
No, this will be released next week.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, so I'm leaving basically now. So start on the 2nd of August.
And what room are you doing there?
I'm doing the Wee Room, a 50-seater at the Gilded Balloon.
Right, so that's not part of the free fringe, that's part of the fringe?
Yeah. So it's one of the sort of four or five bigger hubs there.
And you've been before?
No, never.
Oh, wow.
No, first time, never been to Europe.
Or anywhere
over there, yeah, so a whole new experience.
Oh, Europe's fantastic.
Yeah.
It'll be great. You'll love it. I've never done Edinburgh, but I'm sure you'll love it. You're listening to The Debrief. You're talking to Dan Connell.
Guys, I know I'm never serious on here, and I love a ribbing as much as the next guy. But can the jokes about my body odour please stop? I try my best and use deodorant constantly, but it's never enough. It's a chronic condition that I'm seeking treatment for. That's all. Have a good festival, everyone. Was that a real Facebook post that I wrote, or did Mike G write that and temporarily ruin my fucking life?
Listen up to me, Mike Goldstein, and fellow comedian Nick Capper.
We are going to go through each other's phones and ruin each other's lives on our podcast, The Phone Hacks.
It's available where all good podcasts are, and please help validate our embarrassment.
So tune in.
Phone Hacks.
You're back on The Debrief with Dave O'Neill and Dan Connolly. He's off to Edinburgh. First time ever. I think you'll go well.
Thanks, mate. You've
got to get out there and, you know...
Yeah,
spruik.
I think it's going to feel like the first couple of Melbournes I did, probably the first five Melbournes I did, where you're flying for yourself and really trying to talk yourself up, which is a hard thing to do.
It's hard. It's easy to talk up someone else.
Absolutely, yeah. I would probably rather try and find a mate that I can fly for and him do for me or her do for me, yeah. But, it's like ticket sales, I think I've sold maybe 40 tickets or something. Which is...
Hey, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad, yeah. I sort of was preparing to have a lot of zeros not being known over there and having to...
Yeah.
What time
of the day are you on?
9:30, so...
At night?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah, so...
Because people have, like, 3 o'clock shows and stuff, don't they?
Oh, there's 9 o'clock in the morning they have.
What?
It's all day, yeah. I think the only time there's not is maybe from... maybe 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. or something.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's the only window where...
So people are doing 9 a.m. comedy.
Yeah, it's just all day. 3,200 shows in the
it's
festival.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Considering, like, yeah, Melbourne's 650 for the Melbourne Comedy Festival, 650 shows, and that's a lot. So 3,200 in a smaller place will be...
God.
You can understand why it's so cutthroat. But
yeah, good experience, though.
Yeah, if I can average 20 a night, I'll be happy.
Yeah, it'd be fine. Are you doing a show that you've done before, or...?
Yeah, it's kind of this year's show, this year's show is called Bit of Shush, but unfortunately they don't know.
They don't know what that is.
They don't use shush, a bit of shush, as a saying over there, or a turn of phrase. So I had to change it to an old title called Mr. Personality 1988, which I do mention in this show. And then I've just sort of weaved some old favourites in.
Sure, why not?
Everybody said that I should do a best of when you first go.
Of course.
But I was really attached to this year's show, so I thought I'll do a big chunk of
some of that. Yeah, well. Yeah. Well, it's the stuff that you're enjoying at the moment.
Yeah, and it's... Yeah, that's right. The current stuff. So.
Now, I'll ask you my debrief questions. I ask everyone these questions. I got them off the internet. So that's what you do in a debrief, apparently. What went well tonight and why?
What went well tonight?
Yeah, what
I
went well?
I would say... I did a bit as you did as well. And I was going to drop it, but I still did it anyway. Because they're... parents and they are parents of kids who play sport. I've got some stuff about some dads at kids sport.
Oh yeah, perfect.
Yeah, that I witnessed watching a mate's son play soccer on a Sunday morning.
Soccer's apparently worse than AFL for parent behaviour.
Oh really?
Well, one of the dads has got kids in every sport. His kids go to a sports school.
Yeah.
So they are well sported up. There's schools that just specialise in sport, government schools.
Did you take that? You took a photo not that long ago, didn't you, on your social media of... Was that...
A sign.
Yeah, that said like...
Yeah, yeah. Parents respect, this is not the AFL.
Yeah.
That at that game, there was some bad behaviour from some of the parents from my people's team. and they're like 12-year-old girls. So soccer apparently is worse, this dad was telling me. And he's got kids basketball, soccer, AFL... hockey, bloody everything they do, everything these kids. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a shame people are letting out their anger
in those situations. Or their, their dreams of being a sports star channeling into their 12-year-old kid. Yeah. Be like us going to see our kids do stand-up. Come on, Gary, you're better than that. Hit him with a punchline now, mate. Oh, what's he doing up there? So what didn't go well?
I tell you what didn't go well tonight is I did a thing about...
pedophilia. I don't tend to go well with the parents.
Like no, I did a thing about Stacks On.
Oh, yeah, that's
Ben
funny.
Bart. Yeah, it normally goes well, but I did a thing about the frigid test being barred in schools.
Frigid
as well.
Test, yes, yes. Which is,
I thought they would be all around because it's kind of that generation, but they didn't really go for the frigid test tonight. Maybe they're a bit frigid, perhaps.
I've never heard of that test.
Haven't you?
No.
Now, that was a, maybe it just happened at my school.
Maybe it's a Canberra thing. Maybe it's at Bateman's Bay thing.
Yeah.
But still, you get the concept. It's not that alien when you go.
Yeah.
And it's a funny thing. It's a, even if you don't know what it is, I still found it funny and intriguing.
And the callback there is that my nan hates the frigid test.
That's
as well.
Right. Yeah.
Which normally goes fine. And they were disgusted. They were disgusted by it. Yeah.
Come on, mate.
They spat out their cheese and bickies.
Were there any organisational hazards that got in the way?
Of tonight's one?
Yeah.
Nah.
No, it's pretty well set up, actually. Yeah.
Well, you took your own light, so that helped. If we didn't have that, it would have been...
Wouldn't have been
interesting,
sure.
No.
Yeah.
And the sound was great.
Yeah.
Speakers were set to a good level for my...
They were good.
My levels.
For your quiet level of stand-up.
Yeah. The bars at the back, perfect.
Yeah. And it wasn't...
They didn't move around too much.
No, they're pretty good.
I thought they were... I think because... You said this to me before. When they've done it a few years in a row...
They do know what to expect.
What to do.
Yeah.
They're trained well.
How can we do better next time? That's the last question.
How can we be...
Try and get out of there quicker. So we finished relatively early. And then I ended up doing the raffle and the auction or
the
something.
The raffle did take a bit of time.
Oh my gosh.
Bit of confusion there. How can we do things better? I reckon we could get someone to... Oh, you did the 5-minute warning in the end, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That was fine. Probably just get someone else to do the raffle at the end.
Yeah, I reckon we could have just been driven away.
Get home to bed much earlier. Or maybe I thought your books would have...
I didn't sell any of my books.
I didn't know what happened there because you absolutely killed the gig, and I thought they were going to...
They're all that generation too.
Yeah, they're going to lap these books up.
Didn't sell one. I gave away two. That's a loss.
You too.
Well, there's a guy I sort of went to high school with, and then the guy I was picking on all night, so I felt bad. So I gave him one. Now we can play a song. I drop a song at the end of the podcast.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. What sort of music do you like?
Me?
I would have no idea.
Look.
How old are you?
To 35.
So you'd be similar to Thornton or those guys. They like a bit of hip hop.
Yeah,
they like a bit of rock.
I went through a hip hop phase in my late high school years. I must say, my favourite band since I was 15, or pretty younger. I've always enjoyed, and probably more their older stuff. It's the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh my god! Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've always been into their stuff. I was a big fan. Sort of, Californication came out when I was about 15, 16, and then Yeah, By the Way was, I think I was like 18.
Yeah, right.
2000, 2001. So those albums were pretty...
Well, Flea's half Australian or something, isn't he? Or his auntie lived here.
Yeah, he actually has a holiday house 20 minutes down the road from where I'm from.
What?
Down in a little beachside place called Congo, yeah.
You ever seen Flea walking around?
A lot of people have, yeah. I've had mates have selfies with him, and they always... Apparently, whenever they come to Australia, they always eat at a Nepalese place.
Surely be a vegan or something, wouldn't you, Flea?
Yeah, yeah. So I like them, and music of late, I'm a big fan of bands like, trying to think of who, Boy and Bear, I saw live.
Oh, yeah, Boy and Bear, yeah. That great song, I can't remember what it's called.
Maybe Feeding Line, probably?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good song to finish it.
Well, we can do Boy and Bear, or we can do the Chili Peppers, whatever you want.
So how do you have the rights to this, first of all?
There's some thing you can buy a year thing where, because it's only a one-off play or something. Yeah, someone did ask me the other day, and I've got to get back to them. They emailed me and said, how come you've got the rights to that music? And it's a thing being set up for digital broadcasting. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Courtney, the producer, organised it.
Oh, great.
Gee, I hope I don't get sued. I don't want to lose my house. But
so,
anyway,
so if I imagine
losing my house to Flea.
Oh, because of me.
You go around to my house and Flea's there. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but this is my house now.
Yeah. Well, Close to My Skin by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay, here we go. I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's an amazing bass player. So,
Close to My Skin, the song's called.
Here we go. Dan Connell, thanks very much. And, of course, people can find you on Twitter. And, of course, your podcast, Taking It Easy.
Yes, mate. Yeah, you can check that out.
Check it out. There's some great... You've got some great people in there. And you've also got people that aren't comics, which is good too.
Yeah, I wanted to get a mixed bag.
Yeah, you've got vets and...
Yeah, vets and physios.
Yeah, that's good.
Surgeons. All different, yeah. Interviewing a mortician next week.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, just a...
Yeah, it's a really good podcast.
Different professions.
And it seems very easy listening, and Dan is very disarming, so it'll just go by in your car or wherever you're listening.
Yeah, just don't fall asleep.
Yeah. If you're in the car. Thanks, Dan Connell.